The focus of my studies this week has been in Acts 16, where we have our midnight Bible story that we've been discussing. And there's a lot of things going on there. And hopefully you're familiar with Acts 16 and have read it. I want to go start this morning in 2 Corinthians 11 and in verses 23 through the end of the chapter of 2 Corinthians 11, Paul goes over the many things that he has suffered and gone through as a apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, sent unto the Gentiles. And in verse 23, I'll focus on that. he says in the middle of the verse, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths oft, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one. That was whippings. Verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. That was more or less a clubbing. Yeah, not to be funny about it, but, you know, these were Roman inflictions, this beating with rods. This is what had taken place with him in Acts 16 at Philippi. And then it says, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. And that was written before the shipwreck of Acts 27. A night and a day have I been in the deep. That is a part of the floating around in a sea at night after a shipwreck. So you can read on these various things he suffered. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. We're going through one of those suffering times here with Paul in Acts 16. And we'll pick up where we were last time in verse 25. And there is no time number limit as to when they beat with rods, when they would stop. So, and it was thought that to inflict the most amount of pain, that they would have stripped them. So this was the case. We find Paul and Silas having been beaten with rods in Acts 16:25. They were then cast into the inner prison at Philippi. And as strange as it may sound, and oddly enough, they were singing praises unto God at midnight. Now, they were what we would call hurting units. You know, there's no way that they could not have felt the pain. And, of course, we know the Lord was their healer. They were being comforted by him. But in such a condition, singing songs in the night. Go to Job 35 for a moment. In Job 35, 10, we read a statement that it is God who giveth songs in the night. And where was our apostles focused? It was upon God. It was on the Lord. And the business that they were about, having been called as apostles, okay, unto the Gentiles. And they were in new territory as far as preaching the gospel was concerned. And obviously, Satan wasn't going to yield willingly to these kind of people who would preach about the Lord, you know. So I want you to go to Psalm 42 in verse 8. And this would have been another familiar portion of scripture to Paul and Silas. Paul was virtually an expert in the Old Testament as a Pharisee and as a well-studied student of Gamaliel. Psalm 42:8 says this, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life." Our two apostles were living in the reality of these two scriptures we just looked at, Job 35:10 and Psalms 42:8. And I want you to go to Genesis 39 now. This is not so much a Bible study as just the amplification of where we're at in their situation here in Acts 16. And I think it is apparent, if you really study this and think about it, that Paul and Silas must have realized, by faith, of course, that they were indeed given by the Lord the charge of this prison. Much as Joseph was back in Genesis 39. We probably are a little familiar with this if you attended the Wednesday night Bible studies in recent weeks that our pastor gave on Joseph. In Genesis 39:20, we read this, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." And that was in reference to Joseph. And so what's going to happen in this prison that Paul and Silas are in? Same thing. The Lord gave the charge of that prison to them. And so we find that Paul's second missionary journey was beginning to prosper at this midnight hour of Acts 16:25. But this was a fact still that Paul and Silas could only see by faith. And we're supposed to live by faith, you know, aren't we? So, I mean, it wasn't evident yet that things were beginning to prosper, but they were. And this becomes apparent as we read on and go back to Colossians 3:16. We looked at this last week. That as we read on here, we find that Paul and Silas were indeed ministering and being a witness unto their fellow prisoners. We read last time in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Was there a time limit on this? No. Was there a... So you can sing at midnight if you want to, right? Does this only, though, to happen when things are going good? Or how about otherwise? And we're talking otherwise here with Paul and Silas. So in... So their singing at midnight was totally in order. And if nothing else, their singing and praising the Lord was uplifting to our two apostles. They'd just been beaten pretty bad. And they had their aches and pains and bruises, and they were suffering. The word admonishing, and let's see, in Colossians 3:16, it has to do with in part the imparting of positive truth. This, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. So, who were Paul and Silas imparting positive truths to here in their prison? Well, certainly they were teaching and admonishing one another at this midnight hour, but at the same time, as we have just noted, they were also being witnesses unto their fellow prisoners. We don't read anywhere in this portion in Acts 16 where the prisoner says, hey, knock it off. I'm trying to sleep down here. Because they weren't going to be sleeping anyway. They were all in chains, in put in uncomfortable positions. You might pass out from lack of sleep for a few minutes, but you weren't going to get any rest. So they didn't treat the apostles that way. And so what I want you to see here is that Paul and Silas were given by the Lord the charge of this prison at this midnight hour. And I don't even know if they realized it to the full extent yet. The third part of Acts 16:25, there's three parts to it, that Paul and Silas prayed. It was Acts 16:25. That's the first part. They sang praises unto God. That's the second part. And the third part is, and the prisoners heard them. And the this verse, Acts 16:25, is the first of four successive verses that address the fellow prisoners here at Philippi. Now, we'll get to these verses as we go along. But in this third part of Acts 16:25, we find that the prisoners heard the praying and singing of Paul and Silas. And so they weren't quiet about their singing and praising. They weren't, you know, just mouthing it. They were blurting it out. And we want to keep in mind that Paul and Silas were violently thrust into the inner prison in Acts 16:24, and they were kept away from, it seems, the rest of the prison population. But Paul and Silas weren't sent on a missionary journey to preach to one another, were they? No, he was sent unto the Gentiles. Their singing and praising was loud enough to be heard by the other prisoners. And so we're told, and the prisoners heard them. And this, furthermore, if you think about it, tells us that there was conviction in Paul and Silas's voices, which conviction could only be there by the power that is found in the Holy Ghost. You all know when you've heard a Holy Ghost behind a song or a praise, and it sticks with you. And you're not going to have any success bucking that or fighting against this. And these were not timid words of prayer and softly spoken songs, but Paul and Silas were loud in their praying and singing praises unto the Lord. And furthermore, their prayers and their songs carried a sweet tone to it that these prisoners had never heard before. You receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That power was being felt by these prisoners. The prisoners obviously had heard moaning and groaning at midnight before, but never had they heard a midnight worship service complete with the singing and of praises unto the Lord. And the Lord, remember, he never sleeps nor slumbers. So the Lord was the one that was the recipient of all these praises and and singing. And no doubt it got real quiet in the prison that midnight as they, Paul and Silas, were singing and praying. And the prisoners listened intently to what Paul and Silas were saying and singing. The last part of Acts 16:25 emphasizes this point, noting that the prisoners heard them. If you take nothing else out of the Sunday school this morning, remember that the prisoners heard them. The Greek word translated heard here in verse 25 is only found this one time in Scripture. It's unique. It's number 1874 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And here's what it means. It means to listen attentively. In other words, to pay close attention to what was being said. One commentator notes that this word heard means to listen with pleasure, as to a recitation or a music which could be a wondrously attractive entertainment to the prisoners, even though it was midnight. Paul and Silas' loud praying and heartily singing these midnight praises carried a powerful gospel message that these very same prisoners had never heard before. And the reality was that the fellow prisoners of Paul and Silas were here at Philippi being held spellbound by the message they were hearing from the apostles at this midnight hour. So we're going to go on from verse 25, but as we do, keep in mind that the prisoners heard Paul and Silas loud and clear, and the apostles' songs and prayers pricked the prisoners' hearts, and the prisoners heard them. Acts 16:26 through 28. We'll read this and then comment on it. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. And I think if you've ever been in an earthquake, they all happen suddenly. Have you ever been in an earthquake? I've been in a couple of them. And a great earthquake. I think Rocky was in one of the biggest ones up there in Anchorage, Alaska. And he says it didn't stop shaking for 5 minutes. So, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul, because God had given him charge of the prison, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now, there's a lot in this, okay? There's a lot in this. There's not a lot in it if you just read it and move on. But if you look at it, there's a lot in it. So there's a lot of things to consider here in these midnight happenings. God was here very gracious to Paul and Silas and the other prisoners by having them already be awake at this midnight hour. I mean, this earthquake's startling enough. But when you awaken out of a sleep to what's going on here, you know, yeah, it makes a little bit of a difference. The Philippian jailer, he was asleep, so he was startled by what was happening, but he heard it and felt it. And I tell you this much, so did the rest of the town of Philippi. But even though it's not mentioned here, we'll see it later on in this chapter as we go along. So being wakened by the earthquake, like the Philippian jailer was, would add another terrifying element and panic to the midnight darkness. And this is the state of mind we find the Philippian jailer in these verses. But we didn't find this panic in Paul and Silas or the other prisoners. There was something divine and miraculous that took place that midnight down at the prison. And not only did Paul and Silas know it, but so did the prisoners. So one has to wonder a little as to what might have been said in the midnight prayers of Paul and Silas. Turn to Isaiah 61, 1. And we kind of have to wonder, when they were singing and praising the Lord, probably quoting some scriptures, did the Holy Ghost inspire Paul or Silas to quote in their prayers some of Isaiah 61? Isaiah 61, 1 says this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Well, it certainly would have been an appropriate verse to have quoted, you know. And maybe they did. We don't know, because we're not told. Whether or not this was verbalized or not by Paul and Silas, their prayers must have included these kind of thoughts, and the prisoners heard them. Go to Titus 2. This sudden great midnight earthquake had certainly set them all free, prisoners and Paul and Silas all alike. Now, as I study these things out, I found it very interesting that the word earthquake is mentioned 16 times in Scripture, and 16 is a number associated with love. And the term great earthquake is found in 5 Scriptures. And 5 is the number pointing to grace. So we find truly the facts of Titus 2:11 present here in Paul's prison this midnight. Titus 2:11 says this: "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Now, I think we had that kind of underlined here for us. The phrase, the grace of God that we read here in Titus 2:11, the phrase grace of God, not the grace of God, but grace of God, is also found 16 times in the scriptures that Paul wrote. It's found more than that, but 16 times in the scriptures that Paul wrote. So it emphasizes further the love of God also, 16 being the number of love. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, the second epistle that Paul will write, and Timothy and Silas have their name attached to these epistles also, we find that Paul underlined this same kind of thinking. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. This is a good one to know. "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." And that goes beyond his soon coming. That goes beyond his patient waiting for Christ to come in for any situation in your life. And so we truly find the Lord directing the hearts of Paul and Silas into the love of God at this midnight hour, as they also patiently wait for Christ. And the Lord manifests his presence here in verse 26 of Acts 16, when suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. This otherwise startling midnight great earthquake harmed no one. Now think about that for a moment. There's always some kind of reciprocal damage, it seems like, done to somebody by an earthquake. One of the earthquakes I was in California, I was in my hotel room. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning, and things started shaking back and forth. And I was standing in front of the open closet there, and my clothes were going back and forth like this. And I pounded on the wall and says, "Hey, knock it off over there," thinking all it was the neighbors, and it was more than the neighbors. The news was on. It says, "We just had an earthquake." Well, you know what this earthquake did? And it wasn't a great big one, but they have them all the time down there, but you could feel it. Down at one of the baseball stadiums, a 3-foot piece of beam fell off and crashed into a benches. Now, if somebody had been there, they would have got killed. So they canceled the baseball game because professional baseball players can't play unless they have an audience, I guess. It didn't hurt the stadium any, the field, but they canceled the baseball game because of the earthquake so they could go through and check the ball field where the people sit. So what I'm saying here, it's unusual for an earthquake not to do some harm to somebody. But this earthquake, and it was a great earthquake, harmed no one. And none of the prisoners escaped either, even though they had just been set free. This sudden great earthquake was God's response to Paul and Silas's praying and singing. Ray Quintana once mentioned this in a sermon of his, that God so much enjoyed their singing that he just joined in and sang bass because of the rumbling of the earthquake. Well, what this great earthquake did, it emphasized to all in the Philippian prison the presence of God. You got to realize that these people were pretty much superstitious anyway. They had thrown Paul and Silas in prison because of them casting out a demon out of a soothsayer, because they were more interested in that kind of thing than they were in the things of God. So they had to reckon in their mind it. Maybe there is a God, that Paul and Silas have been talking about it all night long. And so they weren't afraid probably to go anywhere. And so God's fingerprints were all over this great midnight earthquake. And think all the earthquakes you find in Scripture. I mean, how many earthquakes have you been through in your life? And yet you read Scripture and we find several of them, Were they more frequent then? Or was it the presence of the Lord being manifest in most of these events? And we have all seen the carnage of a great earthquake. And when the foundations shake, what usually happens? The whole building falls, the roof collapses, and people are trapped inside, and they bring in dogs, and they search for people for weeks, 14 days maybe. And sometimes they find people still alive, trapped in an airspace. Well, this wasn't the case here at Philippi, even though it was a great earthquake. It says, the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. So the prison roof did not collapse, but all the doors immediately were opened. How unusual. Well, not for God. Go back to Acts 5, because this is not the first time in the book of Acts where the Lord opened locked prison doors. Back in Acts 5, 17 through 20, we find the second major persecution of the kingdom apostles after many signs and wonders were wrought among the people in Jerusalem by the hands of the apostles, according to Acts 5:12. And then the high priest put them in prison, as is told in Acts 5:17 through 20. Note this. Then the high priest rose, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation because of the apostles. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now that would just kind of keep them quiet, wouldn't it? Verse 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So we note here that it was the Lord, the angel of the Lord, that set the apostles free at this midnight situation, opening unlocked prison doors for them. Go to Acts 12. We talked about this in our previous midnight Bible story of Peter's midnight escape from prison. There wasn't an earthquake there, but let's read starting in Acts 12:6. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. In other words, Peter wasn't going anywhere. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Verse 10, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. And it was locked, but it says here, which opened unto them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So the angel of the Lord here unlocked prison doors for Peter, and he opened the gate of the city. Additionally, the angel of the Lord had also removed the chains by which Peter was bound. Back here in Acts 26:16, 26:26. Notice that everyone's bands were loosed. And so once again, we see that it was by some miracle manifesting the presence of the Lord that set all the captives free from the bonds that held them prisoner. The earthquake itself would not have loosed the prisoners' bands. And yet, even though they were set free, none of them escaped. John 8:36 says this, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's John 8:36. And so it was Jesus who set the prisoners free. It was Jesus who loosed everyone's bands. The Greek word translated loosed in Acts 16:26 is number 447 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it's only used four times in Scripture. This Greek word is twice translated loose. Once it is translated forbear, and once it is translated leave. The once time it's translated leave is in Hebrews 13:5, where we read, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So what we find here in what we've just read is, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And furthermore, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The thing that started this whole trip over into Philippi was the prayer of a Macedonian man in Acts 16:9 that Paul heard in his own midnight vision, who said in that prayer, this Macedonian man, come over into Macedonia and help us. And certainly this cry applied to each of these Philippian prisoners, for Paul indeed did help them, pointing them at a midnight hour unto the deliverer and savior, the light of the world, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Gave you some good thoughts to think about today. Lord willing, if he tarries, we'll pick this up next time.